Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakdak.
And hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy, as always, to have you with us as we continue on our study of United We Fall. Now we're heading to the last question, which was given in this dialogue meeting between Pastor J.D. Greer and Imam Omar Sleiman in University of North Carolina. Pastor Kevin Singer is going to ask the last question for both of these gentlemen. That is Pastor J.D. Greer and Imam Omar Sleiman. And without further ado, here he is, Pastor Kevin Singer.
We've got to do this last part like much quicker.
Yeah.
I love listening to you too, but this part's got to be fast. I thought actually we'd end with each of you talking to the other's community. So JD speaking to our Muslim neighbors and Omar speaking to the Christians in the room. What do you want them to take away? What do you want them to know? What do you want to say to them? Maybe it's about hope. Maybe it's about a particular issue of the current age. This is your opportunity to really speak to that audience.
Yes, indeed. The moderator, Pastor Kevin Singer, is asking both Pastor J.D. Greer and Imam Omar Sleiman to share the last thought. What these two gentlemen would love for the audience to take home from this meeting. Remember, that meeting is titled The Truth Forum. So far, we have not heard any truth, but a bunch of lies. And I'm amazed. How can Pastor Kevin Singer enjoy listening to the lies of Imam Omar Sleiman? Obviously, he did not figure out any of these lies. He was duped by the deceptive, smooth lies of Imam Omar Sleiman. And he believed that he is sincere in his talk. Or he's lying to us right now, and he's lying to all his audience by telling us that he enjoyed listening to both of these gentlemen. But he wanted this last session to go fast. Wait a minute. The meeting went too fast in 15 minutes or so, and now he want to end the meeting even faster. So I don't know how much truth we're going to get out of a dialogue when it goes too fast without any investigation. Lies were said, repeated, and lies were ignored. And here we are in the end of the dialogue. And I wonder why the Christian audience, 67% of them or so, according to the survey made after the meeting, left that meeting with good attitude, good feeling, positive feeling about Muslims and Islam. Maybe because there was no truth said there at all from the Muslim side of this conversation, and because also Pastor J.D. Greer compromised his principle to speak the truth and to expose the lies of Imam Omar Sleiman. And obviously, as I said earlier in our study, that this dialogue will not bring any truth because it's not a debate. And only in a debate you can hear the truth. So now we're going to listen first to Pastor J.D. Greer and his answer to this question. What he would love for the Muslim audience to take home from this truth forum. So without further ado, here is Pastor J.D. Greer.
Yeah, thanks for that question. For those of you that are Muslims and you are here, I want you to know very sincerely that we're glad you're here. Many of you, I don't obviously even know your name, and so I don't want to say something inauthentic, but we love you. We think you belong in this society, and we really do want to stand beside you. We want to be your friends. We feel like there are things in your community and in the way that you look at life that are beautiful.
In simple words, I can say, in the introduction of the answer of Pastor J.D. Greer, he is simply buttering up the Muslims in America, using his flattering words to make them feel loved. Yes, indeed, he said, we love you. But I do not know. Do we love the Muslims for hell in America, or do we love them for heaven? Do we love them to keep them Muslims, or do we love them to lead them to Christ that they may leave the savage cult of Islam to become a Christian? Obviously, I believe Pastor J.D. Greer is sincere about his love for the Muslim people. But when you listen to the 50 minutes of lies of Imam Omar Sleeman, and Pastor J.D. Greer did not correct one of these lies, did not say that's not true, that's not what Muslims believe, you have to come to one of the two conclusions. Number one, Pastor J.D. Greer is innocent of these lies, which means he knows nothing about Islam. And if he does not know anything about Islam, he should never have this dialogue with Imam Omar Sleeman. Or number two, he's compromising all what he knows about Islam not to be true by just simply sitting there smiling and be happy and be friendly with Imam Omar Sleeman, which means he did not really love the Muslim people right. He wants them to continue where they at by not exposing the lies of Imam Omar Sleeman, and he loves them for hell. Pastor J.D. Greer said, he think that you, these are the Muslims, belong in this society, and I really want to stand beside you. In what way? You already told this audience, sir, that you as a white Christian American have more privileges than the Muslims of America. You already told them that they are persecuted in America at a much higher level than the Christians are persecuted in America. You already sugarcoated so much bitter facts to the Muslim people, not to hurt their feeling, but to build this friendship with them. Pastor J.D. Greer said, we want to be your friends. We feel like there are things in your community and the way that you look at life that are beautiful. I'm sorry. I don't think you know Islam to speak about the Muslims of America. What if I told you that in Islam, they're not allowed to take you as friend? I know you want to be their friend, and I know you're sincere about that. But as Muslim believers taught in the word of Allah in the Quran, for example, Quran 5:51, Allah orders these Muslim believers when he said, oh, you have believed, do not take the Jews nor the Christians as friends. And Allah in the same verse give us a reason why. He said, because they are friends to one another. And whoever among you takes them for a friend, become one of them. Surely Allah will not guide the unjust people. It is sin, Pastor J.D. Greer, for Imam Omar Sleeman or any of these Muslims in the audience which you are talking to take you or any Jew for a friend. That is if they are true Muslim believers. So you don't understand really how Muslims believe and what Muslims believe about friendship with Jews and Christians. You said what they are doing in this life looks very beautiful. I'm sorry. The deceptive way Muslims are deceiving the American people by taking them as friends with their tongue, not with their heart, according to the doctrine of Taqiyya, that is Quran chapter 3, verse 28, that is not beautiful. That is very ugly. To be friend with people in a deceptive way until when you have the upper hand, according to Quran chapter 47 and verse 35, and then you put the knife in their back, that is not a beautiful thing. Maybe, Pastor J.D. Greer, you need to learn about Islam. Maybe you need to know what Muslims really believe. Maybe you need to learn about the deceptive way of life Muslims practice in the foreign countries when they do not have the upper hand. Then you will know that what Muslims are doing in America, including Imam Omar Sleeman, the Muslim Brotherhood Imam, it is not actually beautiful, but it is ugly. I'm not asking the Christians of America not to take the Muslims for friends, but we must love them. But we're going to love them right. We're not going to love them because they're pretending to be our friends. No. We're going to love them because they chose to be our enemies. For a Muslim man or a woman to believe in the Quran and in the saying of Muhammad, in the Sunnah of Islam, that makes him or her an enemy for every Christian and for every Jew. And we must love the Muslim people right, that is to lead them to Christ. And we must tell them, nothing about your religion is beautiful. Nothing about your prophet is honorable. But we love you anyway. We love you because you are our enemies. We love you because Christ died on the cross for your sin. And we love you because even when you curse us, we must bless you. When you're hungry, we must feed you. And when you're thirsty, we must give you a drink. We must love you as Christ loved us, because that's how to be a true Christian. I'm not going to sugarcoat you. I'm not going to make you what you are not. You are an enemy of America. You are an enemy for our Constitution. You are an enemy of my Christian faith. You are an enemy for my Christian brothers and sisters, not only here in America, but all over the world. And because you are our enemy, we love you. And that's when Muslims really, really appreciate our love for them. Not because we are suckers and we believe in their deception. That's why we love them, not knowing who they are. But we love them because we know everything about who they are. We must tell the truth to our dear Muslim friends about their life. It may look good from outside, but inside, it is not good. That is if we know the truth about Islam. And a good example of that is our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who looked at the Jewish leaders and the rabbi and the priest. He did not say, your life is beautiful. He did not say, everything about you is great, that's why I love you. No, he told them that they are white tombs. Looks beautiful, looks attractive, but inside is filled with rotten bones and death. That's how Jesus spoke the truth to the people of his days, and that's how we as Christians today must love the Muslim people for who they really are, not what they pretend to be or what we would like them to be.
Skeptics are constantly grouping God's Holy Bible together with Muhammad's unholy Quran. These mockers claim that both books are filled with tales of unjustified violence and that they speak of jihad, or holy war, against the infidels. But is this true? To answer this important challenge, Usama Dakdok has just released the first of a special two-book series investigating the concept of jihad in both the Bible and the Quran. Volume 1, entitled Exposing the Truth About Jihad, Holy War in the Bible, takes an honest and unvarnished view of death and killing as recorded throughout the pages of the Holy Scriptures. From Genesis to Revelation, from the Flood to the Second Coming, Usama Dakdok examines the logical and moral justification for God's judgment against sin. From the conquest of Canaan to the cross of Calvary, Exposing the Truth About Jihad, Holy War in the Bible provides the reader with a thorough and detailed investigation into this difficult yet crucial topic. In Volume 2, Exposing the Truth About Jihad, Unholy War in the Quran, the author will likewise provide a fair and honest examination of the arbitrary and unjustified killing as commanded by Allah in the pages of the Quran. Visit us online at www.thestraightway.org to order your copy of this new book today. The Straightwave Grace Ministry travels all across the United States to speak to churches and organizations with captivating and media-rich presentations on a wide variety of topics. And now, back to our show.
Well, let's move on with a little bit more of the answer of Pastor J.D. Greer.
And that, I mean, one of the most enriching times of my life was when I lived in a Muslim-majority country and was able to learn some things. You know, there's nothing about being in another culture that makes you look at your own and say, man, I kind of thought we had it all figured out and I was wrong. And we really do. And I feel like there's a lot that we want to learn, and we want you to be patient with us and help us, you know, learn what it looks like to look at life through your eyes. And it's hard for us, honestly, because we're selfish people. And so we only think of ourselves. And so if you can be patient with us, because most of us have not ever had the experience of being in a place where we weren't in the majority. And that's a difficult transition for us to make. And I'm just telling you, it's difficult. And what I'm telling you, I don't speak for ever. I can't wave a wand and make it. But I know we want to learn that. And we really do want to fight alongside of you.
As I hear Pastor J.D. Greer continuing to answer that question, it reminds me of the time when Mr. Barack Hussein Obama traveled all over the Muslim world apologizing to the Muslim world about America. How ugly and how foolish and how arrogant the American people are. This is exactly the same mentality. As a Christian believer, maybe if I have sinned myself, I'll apologize. But I'm not going to talk like that down about America and about the Christians in America. Let me say to you again what Pastor J.D. Greer said. He said that he lived in some Muslim-majority country. And he understands what it is to be a minority in a majority country. And he is telling us here that There is nothing about being in another culture that makes you look at your own and say, man, I thought that we had it all figured out, and I was wrong. First of all, Islam has nothing to do with culture. If you've been lied to by some Muslims who are telling you that the wrong things in the Muslim world have nothing to do with Islam, but it is just simply some wicked culture. No, everything ugly about Islam has nothing to do with culture. It is the ideology. It is the religion. It is the words of Allah in the Quran. It is the commands of Muhammad in the Hadith. It is how Muslims lived the last 1400 years. And I do not know why you think you are wrong. Maybe you're wrong because you do not know Islam. Because trust me, as I said in many programs in the past, a dog's life in America or a cat's life in America has more value than a Muslim man in the Muslim world. That is, if the Muslims are living by the ideology of Islam. And I'm not saying that to insult any Muslims or anybody live in the Middle East, but this is the truth. And I can talk about it for hours, but I don't have time to waste to prove my point here. And once again, I was shocked to hear Pastor J.D. Greer telling the Muslim audience in his final thought that he really want to learn from them. What are you going to learn from the Muslims? These are the same words of the liberals who always say to the Muslims, we need to learn from one another. And I don't know, what can we learn from the Muslims? Should we learn how to wear a vest bomb? Should we learn how to take an airplane to a building? Should we learn how to behead infidels? I mean, what do you want to learn from the Muslims? Now talk about the real Muslims. And I'm amazed that Pastor J.D. Greer is begging the Muslims to be patient with us. And why does he think they need to be patient with us? Listen to his own words. He said, be patient with us and help us learn what it looks like to look at life through your eyes. And what is life through the eyes of the Muslims? Let me give it to you in few simple words from the word of Allah in the Quran. When Muslims look at you as a Baptist minister, they see nothing but an infidel. As Allah taught them in the Quran, infidel indeed are those who said that Jesus Christ, son of Virgin Mary, is God. And that's what you believe, don't you? When they look at you with their eyes, they see nothing but an infidel as they read the word of Allah in the Quran, which taught them that infidel indeed are those who say, surely Allah is a third of three, and you believe in Trinity, don't you? And I can look again about life through their eyes, and they see you are a great mushrik. Since you made Jesus God and the Holy Spirit as God, you're committing the unforgiven sin, the sin of shirk. And because of Islam and because of the ideology which Muhammad taught the Muslims, they are commanded by Allah to kill people like you. That's why Allah in the Quran ordered Muhammad and the Muslim believers to perform jihad against the infidels. Just people like you for believing in this false Christianity. Pastor J.D. Greer used these flowery words to make the Muslims like him. But in reality, they will not, because they are victims of the savage cult, the cult of Islam. Then I was surprised that Pastor J.D. Greer said, it is hard for the American people to learn from the Muslims because the American people are selfish people. And we only think of ourselves. And I'm sorry, I do not know where you come up with this ideology, sir. That's not a biblical ideology, and that's not even American ideology. For I know the American people are most forgiving, most loving, most giving. I'm talking about atheists and agnostics. I'm talking about the average American who helped the Muslims all the time when there were crises, when there were need in the Muslim world. I remember after the tsunami in Indonesia. I remember after the earthquakes in Turkey. I remember after every crisis the Muslims seen in the Muslim world, the American people, those whom you call selfish, those whom you call lovers of themselves, were the first people to help the Muslim who's in need in the world. Before Saudi Arabia went to help the Muslim of Indonesia, the American and the Jewish people helped the Muslims of Indonesia. Once again, Pastor J.D. Greer asked the Muslims to be patient with us because most of us have not had the experience of being in a place where we were not in the majority, and that is a difficult transition for us to make. Well, I'm sorry to tell you, Pastor J.D. Greer, I have lived all my life as a minority in the Muslim country of Egypt, and nothing of what I have faced in my own home country in Egypt is even any closer to whatever the Muslims are facing in America. Muslims in America are the arrogant one. Muslims in America, they think that they own this country, especially when they have a high position in our government here. As in the case of the two congresswomen, Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib, you can see how arrogant they are and how hateful they are, not only to Israel, our ally, but even to America, to our constitution, to everything they are enjoying here in America. And that is the reality of most Muslims in America. They're not going to apologize. They're not going to assimilate with us. They're here to take over this country. And because of people like you, sir, they are doing a great job to take over America. I'm not surprised. You are apologizing to the Muslims, asking them to forgive us, and maybe begging them, please take over our country. Pastor J.D. Greer ended his statement here by saying, "What I am telling you, I don't speak for everyone. I can't wave a wand and make it so." Well, I'm thankful to God that you are only speaking for yourself and you're not speaking for me or many of the conservative Christians in America. You may bow down to the Muslims, sir. You may beg them and ask them for forgiveness for your arrogant heart, for your selfish attitude towards the Muslims of America, but I am not, nor any of true born-again Christian in this country who truly loves the Muslim people right for heaven, for Jesus, not for hell. And to continue our study of United We Fall, please join us again for the next broadcast. And until then, may the true God of the Bible continue to bless you and yours.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from Him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and He cannot allow sin into His heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul, but now the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, "Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this: "Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen." Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity? Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. This program has come to you by satellite on the VCY America Network. Please support the station which carries this program. Thank you.